Good evening. The meeting is called to order. This is a special meeting for a budget workshop. Trustee Bryson, can you lead us in the pledge, please?
I'd be honored. Thank you. We have a new president of the United States. I hope you keep him in your thoughts and all of our troops. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Board consideration and adoption of the agenda. A motion, please. I'll move.
I move.
Okay. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call. Adonisio, present. Mike Winston.
Present.
Mr. Christensen.
Present.
Jack Brick.
Present.
Anna Bryson.
Present.
Ken Maddox.
Here.
Sue Palazzo.
Here.
Thank you. We are starting our open session. We have two blue cards, and then we will have our budget presentation. I don't know who gave this first, but we're doing Ms. Vicki Soderberg, please, followed by Paige Foreman. Oh, I beg your pardon. Yes.
Thank you, President Adonisio and members of the board. At the very first budget meeting that was held in this room last November, I had a very casual conversation with Trustee Bryson in which we were discussing at that point in time the deplorable situation of the state budget. And of course, we know it's gotten much worse since November. And at that time, I told her, we're all in this together. I meant it then, and I mean it now. Everyone employed in this school district, every classroom teacher, every certificated educational support personnel, every administrator, every classified employee, all of us, all together, we must pull together if we're going to survive the economic challenges facing California schools this upcoming school year. A first step to that end is that we all see the numbers and, more importantly, thoroughly understand their implications. That is why this special budget workshop is so important, and I appreciate the district bringing to the public the numbers, no matter how awful they may look. And from what the education community has seen so far, the initial numbers coming from Sacramento are worse ever than we've ever seen for California's children. The enormity of the proposed cuts for 09-10 far surpass anything that we've seen in recent history. That includes the fallout of Proposition 13 in the late 70s and the double whammy for this school district of the national recession in the early 90s, coupled with the unexpected Orange County bankruptcy. In the catastrophic finance year approaching, only by working together will we be able to move forward with the unfortunate hand that seems to be dealt to us. But first, we must settle the issues before us so that valuable time and energy is not wasted, and so we can move forward focusing with laser-like intensity on the problems facing us the next school year, a problem that will not be solved with simple solutions, but which will require the best thinking from all of us, which will require give and take, and which will require honest, forthright, two-way communication. We are all in this together, and we may not know the way out at this moment, but by working together, I am confident that we shall find a way to maintain the high-quality education for our children for which Capistrano schools are well-known and well-respected. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Ms. Foreman, Paige Foreman.
Thank you for the opportunity to address you tonight. As a parent of a child in the district and a registered voter in the city of San Clemente, I want you to know that I have heard only disappointment over your decisions to place Superintendent Carter on paid leave.
Ma'am, this is about the budget.
I know. In regard to the budget, I believe that buying out the superintendent's contract would not be a prudent use of taxpayer dollars, especially during the district's financially strapped times. That being said, I am actually here to read a letter that was written to all of you by the San Clemente City Council. These council members represent the voters of San Clemente and have listened to their constituents and have acted accordingly. They felt it very important that their comments go on record. Their letter was written on January 6th in the hope that it would be read at the meeting on that night. Due to the limited speakers, unfortunately, it was not. I have been asked to read it by San Clemente Mayor Lori Doncheck, who was unable to attend.
Ma'am, if this is regarding the superintendent, we're taking those comments at 7:30 before we go into closed session.
It's in regard to the superintendent's contract being paid out, which is in relation to the budget.
We did all receive the letter.
We do have the letter. You're welcome to read it at 7:30 before we go in with regard to that issue.
It's two paragraphs. It'll take
all right, that's fine. Two paragraphs.
Okay. So it's from the Office of the Mayor and all of the council members of San Clemente. Dear Chairman and Mayor of the Board, members of the Board, we understand that the school board will be meeting once again this afternoon to discuss the performance of Woodrow Carter as superintendent of Capistrano Unified School District. We send a letter to you in support of Woodrow Carter to be taken under consideration at your last Board of Directors meeting on December 18, 2008, where the superintendent's performance was on the agenda for discussion. As the City Council representatives to the Capistrano Unified School District Board of Trustees, we again wish to reiterate our deep concern over the public comments with regard to Superintendent Carter, including talk of his potential discipline and possible termination. Mr. Carter has our full support and confidence. In our many dealings with Mr. Carter during his tenure as superintendent, his performance has been nothing short of exemplary. Should you wish to discuss this matter further, please call our offices. Regards, Mayor Lori Doncheck and Bob Baker, councilman, and they represent the entire council. Thank you very much.
Mr. Webbs.
Thank you. Excuse me, Madam President, members of the board. It's a pleasure this evening to finally be able to sit down and have what I hope will be a nice roundtable discussion regarding the budget. We have prepared a presentation for that to help frame that and help walk us through that. And we've allowed, I think, sufficient time at the end for dialogue and interaction for the board to ask questions and provide direction as needed. So as soon as that comes up, I will get started. There we go. Okay. Well, first of all, what I'd like to do is just kind of give you an idea of where we would like to go and what we would like to talk about this evening. And I have two little graphics up there to kind of help me remember what I wanted to say. And the first is that this budget situation that we find ourselves in is not of our own doing. If you recall, back in November and December, we worked through what was our own issue, was the $12.5 million in fiscal solvency that we had to resolve over the multi-year projection. What we're faced with now is what's been handed to us by the state for not only this mid-year, but the following year. And the vote was to represent that every school district in the state is in somewhat of a similar situation with a vote that's headed towards the rocks, and without corrective action, the consequences will be dire. The iceberg on the bottom was to remind me to tell you, or to communicate to you, that what we're going to be talking about tonight really is just the tip or the peak of the issue that's involved. There is an enormous amount of information that we not only need to go through and quantify and plug into our budget, but information that we need to probably talk through with the board and review as well. We can't possibly do that all this evening, so tonight what my goal was to simply try to frame the governor's budget proposal and explain how it impacts us. We really weren't prepared this evening to sit down and start going through solutions and options, but to just simply give you an idea of where we're going and then get a little bit of direction, knowing that we're going to be coming back multiple times to have discussions with the board.
Ask one question.
Sure.
With regard to the $38 million challenge through 2009-10, is that starting in
this year.
This February? That's starting effective now through that time?
Correct.
All right, okay.
The state has a $42 billion problem from this fiscal year through next fiscal year, and that translates to about $38 million problem for us.
So we're talking now February 1st through July.
Through June of 10.
Okay.
And I have a little link there. If this presentation will be posted on the web, and if you go to that link, it takes you right to the governor's page, and he has a nice little clock that shows you how the deficit is racking up. So I that's there for you if you're interested in doing that. What you need to know is that what we're presenting tonight is based on the January proposal. We all know that it will change, and the numbers that we have today will change next week, will change in May, and will change when the budget's adopted, whenever that might be, whether it's August, October, or if it's even on time this year. I don't know. But the point is that we're working with the information that's been provided, and we're trying to lay a foundation for 9-10 upon a budget of 08-09 that hasn't even been solidified. So it's very difficult to build a budget for next year on the foundation of this year that isn't complete. So with that, I will move on. There's five topics that I would like to cover this evening. One is the 08-09 mid-year cuts, and then the 9-10 budget proposal, the issue of cash flow, and the state is in a cash flow crisis. If they don't do something, they will run out of money in February. And then the state's response to this, what they're proposing that we can do to help get through the crisis, which is flexibility, and then what our response to that would be at this early juncture. This is a bar chart that is really meant to be illustrative, to just kind of give you a graphical representation of how this kind of is put together. And the bar there on the left is where we started this fiscal year. We started with our 07-08 funding level last year, and we were supposed to receive a 5.66 COLA, but we did not. We received a 0.68 COLA. So what they're proposing then is, what the governor's proposing is to go from that funding level, that 0.68, and cut from there, cut not from the COLA, but to remove the COLA and then cut an additional 4.56. And so what that means is about $304 less per student. And then for 9-10, they're proposing to cut another 2.5%, which is another $137 from where we started the year for next year. And so when you add all those up, it's $441 from where we started this year. Now, if you compare that to where we're supposed to be statutorily, what we're guaranteed, and add all those up, it's about $1,000 from where we're supposed to be for next fiscal year. So that is substantial. And that's on a per student basis. Our per student funding is about $5,800. That's where we started the year. And so it's about a 5% reduction there for the first cut. Anyway, that just gives you an idea in terms of kind of a bar chart of how things look graphically. Now, if we translate that to actual dollars that we would be impacted in the budget, this is what it looks like. If we take the elimination of the COLA and then what I call that un-COLA, the actual cut below what our funding was, we come up with about a $15.5 million reduction to revenue for this current fiscal year. So from what we budgeted, what we're planning to receive, and what they're now proposing to send us, will be $15.5 million less.
That's between now and June.
Yes. For 09-10, you've got the elimination of that COLA from up above and the cut, plus an additional cut of $7 million for next year, a reduction of ongoing revenue of $22 million. So when you get to the end of next year, 9-10, there would be a $38 million reduction in ongoing revenue pulled out of our budget. It's a substantial amount of money.
But you're saying the $15 million is from February to June?
Well, it's for this fiscal year's funding cycle, for 08-09.
Right, and that starts October 1?
That would start July. Well, that's the July 1/08 is when our fiscal year started, and so this would be a reduction of $15.5 million for this fiscal year. Now, they've been paying us apportionments, you know, on that. They've been paying us the amount we're due. They break that up. But, you know, the reduction would actually come in what's left for them to pay.
So the 15 is, as Trustee Adonisio said, going to come from February to June because we haven't done any of the...
That's correct.
So we have to cut $15.5 million between February and June.
Yes, but however, there's some... Yes.
I got stuck in something you said with your earlier slide.
You want me to go back?
No, just give me those two numbers again. We expected how much revenue per student per year, and we're going to end up with how much?
This year we budgeted on 5,824. I put the slide back up. Mm-hmm. And they're proposing to reduce that by $304 per student. That's just an estimate, an average.
And reduce again in the next 2 years.
And then reduce again from that. 137 from this year to next year. So really, we're now $441 below what we were funded per student in 07-08. For 09-10.
Right.
Just want to make sure I heard you correctly.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's dire. Okay, so if going back to this slide then, the beginning in 09-10, we have an ongoing gap between what we're due statutorily and what we're funded of $38 million. It's an enormous amount of money. Okay. Now, in addition to that, not that that's not bad enough, in addition to that, we have the state is in a cash flow challenge, simply meaning that they don't have enough money to pay their bills, and if they don't take some sort of corrective action, I'm sure you've heard in the news, they're going to run out of money, and the prediction is they'll run out of money sometime in February. So what they're proposing to do, and that's why the picture of the dam, is they're proposing to stop the flow of cash to local agencies and restrict that. And so this is what I want to explain here. Basically and very simply, what they're proposing to do is take the apportionment that we're due in April, and this is in addition to the cut, okay? So then what's left for them to send, the apportionment that's due in April, which has already been postponed from February to April, and not pay us until next fiscal year. But you also need to know that several years ago, they postponed that final June apportionment until July. So we're already getting our June apportionment late, and now they're proposing to take all of the revenues that would be delivered between April and June and push it to next fiscal year. So that creates a cash flow issue for us.
And then we would have to then try to borrow from somebody, Madoff.
If we can't make the cash flow. Or we print some money.
There you go.
But I don't think that's legal.
Okay. Trustee Bryson. Sorry.
That's all right.
Am I on? Yes. I have what may be potentially very good news on the front of borrowing. I was with the Treasurer, Chris Street, in two separate meetings, one a private meeting with all of the CFOs. I don't think we were represented at that meeting at the county level.
Chris was there.
Were you there, Chris?
I was not able to see you. I was not able to.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. All right. So Chris was there. That's a good thing. But at that time, he explained that he's exploring certain options, which would only be for the schools in Orange County, because we are in such unusually fine shape with the Treasurer's Fund in Orange County. And he had a meeting today with Wendy Bankert, and I was in that meeting, where, once again, they are exploring, and the Treasurer is exploring, a plan that potentially would enable us to loan from the Treasurer's Fund of Orange County into the schools to make sure that our schools were balanced and safe. Most of the treasurers across the state are not going to be doing that, but because Treasurer Street is committed
to funding the schools, and he's going to be seeking the okay in order to do that, to move forward with that. So we may be looking at a funding possibility that Wendy Benker thinks would be an exceptionally fine resolution, and she's Superintendent Habermel is very, very appreciative of the work that the treasurer is way ahead of the curve on this, and everyone in this room and all of the parents and teachers and everyone should be extraordinarily grateful to this man who is running way ahead of anyone in the state and trying to protect our schools and our teachers and everything in Orange County. So I wanted you to know that. We just had that today and the other day, so this is something that's not out there, but it's for you to know. Hopefully that will be a fact here pretty quick.
Thank you. It's very difficult at this juncture to quantify what exactly that cash flow problem will be for us, but in terms of what they're proposing to defer, it's approximately $9 million. One of the challenges that we're faced with is trying to get our numbers honed in. As you know, when we had our discussions in December, we were just in the process of closing first interim, so we were able to get a good grasp on that. And now what we're moving towards is getting second interim wrapped up and closed, and that will help us identify how much we have and how much we may need in terms of cash flow. So this budget thing's always moving and always changing, and we're in the middle of trying to get that wrapped up and move towards the closing of second interim. Anyway, one of the things that the board has asked for over time is, well, what's the worst case scenario? And I hesitate showing this slide, but I did want to put it up. And it isn't something I would want to plan off of necessarily. And here's why. It's because if the worst